At this time, very quietly, the kids are dismissed for Asbury Church Kids, so if you want to make your way that direction. Everybody else, I want to invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. If you didn't bring a paper copy and you don't have a Bible, we do have some Bibles that we can give to you. I'm the kind of person that likes the old school analog Bible. That's just me. But maybe you like digital Bibles. You can go on your app. You can go to Google Play. You can go to the Apple Store, whatever, look up the Bible app. And it's a great way. But this is what we believe. We believe that God's Word provides direction for our life, that speaks to us to help us discover ways that we can honor God with our lives. And so every week we take time to look in God's Word. And so we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 43. Now, just so you know, we are continuing our series about hope rising. We began this Easter morning, and this is how we define hope around here. Hope is a confident expectation of the future because of God. Hope is a confident expectation of the future. Now, anybody in the room an optimist? Where are my optimists? You're like, the glass is like half full. How many of you are pessimists? The glass is half empty, and then the engineers are like, there's just too much glass. Like, you know how that goes, right? But we see a world in different ways, and sometimes we can look to our future and go, you know what? Dude, it's not going to be good. And sometimes we can go, oh, you know what? And this is what I believe faith in God does, is it actually changes our perspective, and we look toward the future with hope, and we look with confident expectation. And part of the reason is it tells us this in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. God says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Like, God wants to do good things in our hearts and lives. And so we're thinking about this whole idea of hope rising, because our prayer is that hope would rise in your heart and in your life. Now, we recognize this because Jesus rose, hope can rise in us. Because he lives, new possibilities are open for us. Because his love heals, our lives can be transformed. And today, I just want to share a message around the idea of passing through. Now, a few years ago, when my kids were small, our family went out to pick up a Christmas tree at a tree farm. How many of you, you're the Christmas tree, you hunt for the real thing? How many of you, you like artificial? Yeah, all those people who really don't have the joy of the season, but we're not going to go there this morning. But we would go out to this tree farm, and I remember we were living in eastern New York, and we went out, and perhaps with more confidence than wisdom, I decided to treat our minivan like a truck. And it did not go well. I remember it was one of these kind of like greasy, rainy, you know, kind of day that we get around here. And before long, we were stuck. Anybody here got stuck? And so you're like, okay, so I need to, and so you're like, okay, I'll try and go slow, and then slow doesn't work. And so you're like, okay, maybe we just got to spin the tires. And then rooster tails. How many know rooster tails coming off a minivan is just a beautiful thing? And we're trying to get out, and I'm like going, oh my goodness, because I don't know about you, but I don't like to get stuck. But isn't that how life feels sometimes? Like, sometimes we end up getting stuck in places we never intended to be. Sometimes we get stuck in circumstances that we didn't choose. Sometimes we get stuck in troubles, and we just can't seem to escape them, and we begin to ask a whole lot of questions, things like, will I ever get out of this? Will things change? Is this where my story ends? And part of the good news that we believe is that because of God's grace, we can actually triumph through today's troubles. And maybe you're here today, and there's some troubles that are going on in your life, and how many know troubles come in all sorts of shapes and sizes? Sometimes they can be low resonance ones, and other times they can just be screaming at us. But again, we simply believe that because of God's grace, we can actually triumph through today's troubles. Not just survive them, not just endure them, but triumph through them. And so we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to read verses 1 and the first part of verse 3, and then we'll drop down to verse 18 and 19. Now, just to kind of give you an idea of what's going on in this book, Isaiah is speaking to a people who have rebelled, who have wandered, and who have suffered. And some of their troubles were caused by their own choices, and some were caused by the brokenness of the world around them. But all of it felt overwhelming. And it was into that chaos that God begins to speak words of comfort and hope. And part of the section that we're in Isaiah, in chapter 40, it kind of changes to this message of comfort and a message of hope. And so it kind of continues on here in chapter 43. But this is what it says. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob. Okay, everybody say created. Created. All right. And then he who formed you, Israel. Everybody say formed. Formed. Okay, I want you to know he created and he formed. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, everybody say through. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, everybody say through. They will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, everybody say through. You will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. Why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. If you go a little bit further down into verse 18, it says this, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. Anybody here have moments where you kind of dwell on the past a little bit? How many of you got moments in your history that you have a hard time shaking at times? And because you've been through things, you think, okay, I've been through it, then it's going to happen again. And sometimes it's the past that traps us in the present. And God's like, guys, listen, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Everybody say new. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now, this is an amazing passage. Isn't that a great passage to read? Like God says, listen, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to make a way, even in the desert. I'll provide streams in the wasteland. Now, as we look at this passage, I want to note three truths that kind of anchor our hope no matter what trouble we are wrestling with today. And the first thing is just simply this, that I think we all have to have clarity on and understand, and that is this, that in our days, there are some difficult things we will have to go through. How many know this is true? Like, wouldn't it be great if life was easy? Like, wouldn't it be great if you just wanted something, that thing would just manifest itself and make it all happen? But so often, like, everything, there's this struggle, there's this difficult thing that we have to face. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, we learned a song, right, in school. It was kind of fun. We're going on a lion hunt. How many remember this one? We're going to catch a big one. I'm not scared. Okay, so who knows this one? Come on. Okay, good. All the good people. Some of you like going, I got my education in Canada, so you got to forgive a part of it, right? But then you get to, as you do this song, you keep coming to these obstacles. And as you come to the obstacle, it goes on to say, you can't go over it, can't go under it, can't go around it. I guess we got to go through it, right? And there are some things in life that we just have to go through. That's what life is, isn't it? You see, there are waters that we face sometimes, that this difficulty of life, that there are things that we have to go through, and sometimes our hearts get unsettled by it. There are waters that threaten to overwhelm us. There are rivers that threaten to sweep us away. There are fires that threaten to burn us. There are deserts that threaten to deplete us, and we see this in life. Again, we wish life was easy, but how many? Life is hard. We wrestle with financial pressures, relational wounds, cultural tensions, situational stress, internal battles. Like, we just wrestle and we run into troubles all the time. And sometimes when we get stuck in those troubles, because how many know sometimes we get stuck in the trouble we're a part of? And we're just like, I don't even know how to get out of this. Like, I don't know how to get out. How do we rise above it? How do we find some movement so we don't have to stay in this place? Isn't it just kind of like depressing and discouraging sometimes? Sometimes it just feels like you're having the same arguments with your spouse or with your kids again and again and again. You're at the same job and you're dealing with the same issues again and again. And you're just like, And it's interesting because all of a sudden there can be fear that rises in our hearts. When we're stuck, it's amazing how often fear begins to take over. And human response to fear, like the natural human responses to fear, manifest themselves in so many different ways. Sometimes we freeze. How many know that fear has a way of paralyzing people? Have you ever been in the place where it's like going, you know there are decisions to make, but you're afraid to make a decision because you don't know what decision to make, and you can't go, what do I do? Sometimes because of fear, we're like, there's something that rises up and says, okay, no, I'm going to fight it. And sometimes our fear causes us to become contentious, to be reactive to situations. Sometimes fear arises and we're like, well, you know what, I'm just out of here. And we just begin to run away. And this is why I think this is so important, because it doesn't matter where you go in life, how many know we bring problems with us and trouble just seems to find us. And part of it is, okay, so God, how do we manage? How do we find our way through our troubles? Because if we're not careful, the fear that arises in our heart begins to rob us. It robs us of our peace. It robs us of our rest. Isn't it like discouraging that you ever have those moments you fall asleep and think it's going to be a good night's sleep, but all of a sudden you wake up and there's just like this panic that you feel because you're like, oh no. Anybody have those moments? You're like, oh my, it's just taking, and you're like, you're trying to go back to sleep, but your mind is just over and over and over and over again. Fear robs us of peace. It robs us of rest. It robs us of joy. It robs us of hope. What fear begins to do is it begins to convince us that today's trouble will triumph over tomorrow's future. And now the truth is sometimes we can contribute to the chaos. Like, we can make our troubles a little bit deeper. Anybody here have moments where you've made your trouble a little bit deeper? It could be something that you said. I love to say this. There's no situation so bad that I can't open my mouth and make it worse. And I have done that time and time and time. I got stories. Oh, my goodness. But sometimes it's our words. Sometimes it's our attitudes. Sometimes it's our actions. And we begin to dig the hole deeper. Now, just understand, this is part of living in a broken world, a world that's broken by sin. And this is part of the reason why, like, around here, we talk about sin, because sin is more than just doing something wrong. Sin is actually a power that begins to break. It begins to fragment. It begins to destroy. And it's something that we all wrestle with. The Bible's so clear on this, that for all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And part of this idea that we've sinned means that every one of us in some ways contributes to the broken world that we're a part of, and we can't seem to stop. Again, sin is not just a wrong action. It is a power, and it fractures everything that it touches. And sometimes these difficult places, they're a part of the journey. And we have to say, God, we need your help to get through this stuff. Because how many of us want to live in our troubles? How many of us want to stay in our troubles? We don't. You see, difficult places are a part of the journey, but they are not the destination. So if the first truth is that we will face difficult places, the second truth I want you to know is, like, this is a good one. And that's this, that God's grace meets us where we are to bring us through. That God's grace meets us right where we're at. Did you know that God is not content to leave his creation stuck in their troubles? Like, I want you to hear that. Like, God is not content. He doesn't go, you know what? You did it to yourself. Okay, so funny story. Our first child, Samantha, she is now like, almost 60, I'm sure of it. When she first, just after she came home from the hospital, our oldest, she was a bit of a squirmer. She's an active She's been strong-willed and feisty since the very beginning. Anybody have kids like that? Like from the very beginning, you're like, okay. And so my mother-in-law was up helping as we were going through this transition from no kids to kids. And so she was helping in so many wonderful ways. And there was this one time we're just like, Mom, can you hold the baby? Can you hold Samantha? And so she was holding Samantha. And Samantha was just like a few days old, and she's holding her in her lap. And Samantha is just squirming and struggling, and she was sitting in a chair that had an armrest. They were wooden armrests. And as she's struggling, she bangs her head on the wood. Starts screaming. It was so great. My mother-in-law looks down and says, you did it to yourself. And I'm like going, yeah, that's my mother-in-law. You did it to yourself, right? And we still chuckle about it, right? She was such a sweet lady, right? But sometimes that's how we think God looks at us and says, you know what, you just did it to yourself. You got yourself into the mess. You just go ahead and get yourself out of it. And when you get yourself out of the mess, then maybe we can have a relationship. That's actually nowhere near the heart of God. The heart of God is actually, he sees the brokenness of creation. He sees the fact that we get stuck and that we wrestle with troubles. And he says, listen, I am not going to stay distant. I am the kind of God that comes near. He is not indifferent to our pain. He is not distant from our struggle. But we serve a God who steps in, who redeems us, who rescues us, and who restores us. Did you hear the words? As Isaiah is quoting, hey, I want you to hear what God's heart is to you in the midst of your situations. Do not be afraid, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. Now, I love this idea of redemption, because the idea of redemption is this, is that God refuses to leave us in the vulnerable, broken place. Like, I could take you through so many fun stories in the Bible that deal with this idea of redemption, and the person who's being redeemed is stuck in a place they can't get out of. And sometimes it's because of stuff that they've chosen. Other times it's just because they're living in this broken world, and they're stuck. And God says, listen, I'm not content to leave you there, but I have come to redeem you. I have come to bring good to your life, even in and through the trouble. And so God, in our lives, listen, he works and acts to liberate the captive, to restore the estranged, and to avenge the wronged. God has come to redeem. And he says, listen, I want you to know that I've called you by name. Like, not only have I come to redeem you, I have called you by name. And this should be such an encouragement to all our hearts. I want you to know God knows your name. And more than just knowing your name, he knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what it is you've been through. And what he does is he steps into the places we are, and he reaches us with his love right in those places. And he says, hey, listen, even when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. That God is not content to watch us from afar, but we have a God who steps into our messes, into the midst of our chaos, into the midst of our troubles, and says, listen, I am with you. He's not watching from afar. He's not cheering from the sidelines. He's the kind of God that steps into our troubles to help us. And he says, listen, they're not going to sweep over you. Yeah, I understand these are troubles, but listen, my grace is greater than the trouble that you're in. My grace is greater than the pain that you are facing. I'm the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And I love that. God says, listen, I want you to know I'm your Savior. You see, salvation is really important, this important idea we find throughout all of Scriptures. Salvation is just this idea, the fact that God comes to do three important things for every one of us. He comes to rescue us. He comes to rescue us from our sin. He comes to redeem us, to bring something good out of our lives, and he has come to restore us. You see, God doesn't just bring us out. He wants to bring us through. He says, listen, I want to do something new in your life. I don't know about you, but there are moments I'm like going, God, I'm ready for a new thing. And he's like, listen, I'll do something new. I will make a way in the wilderness. I will provide streams even in the wasteland. And even though in the midst of your troubles you may see a dead end, I want you to know God says, hey, listen, I still got a way through this. You may see wasteland, but God says, listen, I'll provide water. You may see no path, but God will say, listen, I will make a way. I will provide a road for you through this to get you to the place that I called and created you to be. The third thing I want to note from this passage is that God will actually end up using our troubles and our struggles to form us for our good. Have you ever had those moments, you're in the midst of your trouble and you're like, this is terrible. Nothing good can come from this thing. See, this is where God is greater than the troubles. He says, listen, not only will I bring you out, but I will create something good in you through this. And this is the part that so often we miss. Grace doesn't just rescue us from trouble. It reshapes us through the trouble. At the beginning of the passage, God says this. He who created you, Jacob. He who formed you, Israel. Now, if for us, you know, I was like, hey, everybody say created, created. Say formed, formed. And then there's two names, Jacob and Israel. And if you're not familiar with the biblical text, something to understand is that this is actually the same person. That Jacob, these names are mentioned because it's a part of Jacob's story. And Jacob's story is very familiar to our story. It's similar. Now, just so you know what the name Jacob means? He who grasps the heel. It can be used as one who's a deceiver, right? And so the idea of Jacob is that when he was getting ready to be born, he was holding on to his brother's heel as if trying to say, hey, I'm going to hold you down so I can get ahead. Anybody here met people that are willing to hold you down so they can get ahead? Okay, that's what Jacob's name meant. And if you read his story, you'll find out that there's something he wants in his life. He wants to experience blessing. He wants his life to flourish. He wants to experience the abundance that God created him for. But the problem is he keeps grasping, thinking, I can figure this out on my own. And so he manipulates and he grasps and he does all these different things. And instead of making it better, he just ends up in more and more messes. In Genesis 32, God's going to end up meeting Jacob in the dark. In the midst of his fear, in the midst of his uncertainty. And you might think, well, how is God going to meet me in the midst of my uncertainty and in my trouble? And Jacob's story, let me tell you, doesn't always give you a lot of excitement about this one. Because God chose to wrestle with Jacob. But he didn't start out with the reassurance. He started out with the wrestling. Where God comes up and essentially jumps him in the dark, takes him out at the hip. It's a beautiful story. And there's this battle that goes on, this struggle in the midst of the trouble. He wrestles with God, and the day is coming, and God says, you know, let me go. And Jacob's like, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And then God says, what's your name? He's like, my name is Jacob. Grasper. Deceiver. And God says, no, that's not who you are. Your name is Israel. Because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. So, go back to Isaiah 43. He who created you, Jacob. Like, there's this forming. I mean, this creating. He made him. But through the struggle, there was a transformation that happened to Jacob, that he became Israel, and it changed the way he walked. He walked into the night one way, and he walked out another. And that's what grace does to us. It doesn't just rescue us. Grace has come to reshape us. And I want you to know this, that God is up to something good in our lives. And he is not overwhelmed by the troubles that overwhelm you. The things that you feel are going to sweep you away, listen, he remains firm and rooted even when it seems as though you're just going to quickly fail away or fall away. It may seem as though that the fire that you're going through is going to just burn up everything. And listen, God is one who stands even through the fire and says, listen, I have you. And the thing you need to understand about God, and this is so beautiful, is that he doesn't waste your struggle. He doesn't waste your trouble. He doesn't waste your pain, and he doesn't waste your story. But out of it, out of every trouble, out of every pain, he begins to create something good. Can I just tell you, you may be in a difficult place, and I want you to know the difficult place is not meant to stop you. It's meant to shape you. And there is something that God, I believe, wants to do in and through you, even in the midst of your difficulties. You see, it is God's grace that brings us through. It's God's grace that makes something new in our lives. This is why I said earlier, because of God's grace, we can triumph through today's troubles. Like, we can do this. Not because we're something special, but because of who he is and his desire to work in and through our lives. Okay, so how do we get through our troubles? I want to note three real quick things. In the worship team, you can come. That's how quick it's going to be. How do we get through? First of all, we have to lean into God's grace. Have you ever looked in your rear view or your side view mirror? And what does it tell you? Objects may be closer than they appear. How many have got that on your little window there? Especially on the passenger side. They may be closer than they appear. Can I just tell you that God is closer to you than it may appear even in this moment? You may be in the midst of your troubles, your trials, your struggle, your difficulty, and you're like, God, where are you? Hey, good news. God is closer than you realize. He is not distant. He is not detached. He is actually called Emmanuel. Like, Jesus has come, and one of his names is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And what we have to do in our lives is we actually have to lean into the grace of God. Again, we all have issues. It was fun. I keep mentioning this. We all have issues. It was so fun last week because I shared one of my issues last week. I was out in the lobby talking with some other guys, and they're like going, oh, you should have seen what we did. And we did this. It was so great. I'm like, you got issues too. I love it. I feel so good about it. We all got issues. We all have sin. And what God, he says, listen, I have come to meet you right where you're at. God's not intimidated by our history. He's not intimidated by our story. He's not intimidated by our mess. He's not intimidated by our sin. And what he does is he says, listen, I have grace for you. And the question is will we receive his grace? Now, I don't know about you. Not only do I have trust issues, I can be stubborn. My stubbornness is I got myself into the mess, I'll get it out. I'll get myself out of it. Like, I don't like to admit I have a problem. And God's like, listen, I have come to bring you life. And the question is what are we going to do? And just so you know, sitting in church isn't enough. Sometimes we think, well, if I just go to church, that's what's going to make me good. Listen, we're good, but we're nowhere near that good. It's not the church that makes us good. It's the grace of God that's at work in our lives. And I want you to know that he invites each one of us to make a decision to lean into his grace and to receive his grace. But even as we do that, what we have to do, even once we make the decision to follow him, we still have to continue to make decisions in our day to keep leaning into grace. This is why we pray. This is why we worship. This is why we open God's word and we interact with it. Because we need the grace of God at work in our lives. I had a precious lady I know. I was asking, how are you doing? And she was like overwhelmed. It was so great. Not, it wasn't great, it was so sad. She was just like, I just can't hold it all together. You ever have those moments where there are so many pieces and you're like, how do I hold all this stuff together? and the weight that we put on ourselves to hold everything together. Hey, I got good news. There's already one who holds everything together, and that is Jesus. And we have to learn to rest in his grace and receive the grace that helps us. And so part of what we have to do, everyone has to learn or have to make the decision to lean into grace. Don't resist it. Lean into it. And leaning into grace means choosing God's presence over the panic of the situations we're in. It's about choosing faith rather than being overcome by fear. It's saying, okay, God, here's my heart. No matter how old you are or young you are, if we're going to make it through, we have to lean into his grace. Secondly, we have to do the next good thing. So as you follow through Scripture, faith is not just belief, it's action. It's belief that results in action. And when life is beginning, it is chaotic and you feel like you're trapped in the struggle, the first rule is simple. Stop digging. I mean, you know, when you're stuck and the tires are spinning, you're throwing rooster tails. Like, it doesn't help to give it more gas. It just makes it deeper. It starts by saying, okay, there's something that has to stop. And can I just tell you, like, some of you, you're wrestling with some financial troubles. How many know sometimes you just, in financial troubles, sometimes you just have to stop spending? Like, that's a good place. Like, just don't keep doing that. Sometimes relationally. Sometimes in order to help the relationship, you have to stop the yelling. Like, you have to stop some things. The name calling. Sometimes emotionally, we have to say, okay, you know what? All right, I'm afraid, but I have to stop giving into fear and allowing fear to hijack my responses in situations. You see, what we have to do is we have to learn to do the next good thing. Not every good thing. How many of you get overwhelmed sometimes because you're trying to do every good thing? Can I just tell you, the way you start getting out, you lean into grace and you say, okay, God, help me do the next good thing. Just the next one. It may be that in those moments, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually choose to love and to respond in love rather than responding in anger. Maybe what it's going to be is I'm going to be more intentional about building something rather than breaking it. How many know that there's that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones. No, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How many of you lied to yourself? How many know words hurt? And sometimes what we're doing is we're speaking into our marriages, we're speaking into our situations, things that are breaking. We have to say, you know what? I need to start speaking words that build. We have to say, you know what? In the midst, I have to learn to protect sometimes other people rather than just trying to protect myself. It tells us love covers a multitude of sins. Like there's work to be done, and it's not necessarily a whole lot of big things. It's just do the next good thing. Be as simple as being kind. Bringing some beauty into a difficult place. Because this is the thing you need to understand. Small steps of obedience open big doors of grace. And God wants to bring you through. The last thing I would note how to get through, we lean into grace, we do the next good thing, and lastly, we discover the power of together. So one of the things that happens, sin isolates. But what grace does is it gathers. And part of my prayer for us as a church is that we would be a place that's full of grace. Remember how I said earlier, you're a gift? Grace is the gifts that flow from love. That God has made you and shaped you, and God is trying to do something in and through your life because you are a gift that he wants to use to be a blessing to others. You see, God never intended people to have to pass through their troubles alone. Some of you, you're trying to get through it on your own. But God says, listen, I want you to know some grace. Part of the grace is the family. Part of his grace is the people that he places around us. Now we recognize around here, we don't have it all together. Like, we do not have it all together. We are a hot mess at times. But this is what I've come to know, that together through God's grace, everybody say through his grace, we can get through. Getting through. Again, community, faith community doesn't remove the struggle, but it does strengthen and support us for the journey. So as we end, because of God's grace, we can triumph through today's troubles. Again, there are difficult things that we have to go through. We don't get to go around them. Can't go over them, can't go under them, can't go around them. But by God's grace, we are going to go through them. You see, God's grace will meet us right where we're at to bring us through. And maybe you're here today and you're wrestling with some troubles. I don't think anybody here is here by mistake. I believe that God is here because he wants to encourage your heart. And he wants you to know you're not alone in the struggle. And also knowing that God uses our struggle to form us for our good. My prayer is that our hope would rise today because our troubles don't have to trap us. Because his grace will bring us through. And so God invites us to follow him, to receive his grace, to trust his presence, and to walk in his truth. And as we do, we find this out, that God will make a way. You may be here today, and you don't know where the way out is. Good news, God has one. May we lean into his grace. May we do the next good thing. May we gather in community. Father, I thank you that you are faithful and good. I thank you that you want to bring good to our lives and through our lives. And God, I understand that, Lord, in this world we have troubles. But Lord, as you taught us, that Lord, we can take heart because you have overcome the world. And God, I know in a room like this, there are different troubles. Or there are people wrestling with finances and family. Some people are wrestling with job, and some are wrestling with identity. Lord, some are just struggling with what they're supposed to do next. God, I pray that even in this moment, Lord, your peace, your grace, your love would just begin to cover. Lord, I pray that fear would just begin to move in this. Lord, be moved from this place and from these hearts. And that, God, you would begin to surround them with your love and your kindness, your mercy and your compassion. God, we choose this day to lean into grace. Because, God, it's what we need. And just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, how many here this morning would simply say, you know what? There are some things that I am wrestling with. I'm in the midst of some trouble. I'm a little overwhelmed by it. I'm not sure how I'm going to get through it. I feel like I'm getting swept away by it. I feel like I'm getting burned in the midst of it, and I need grace to meet me. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand, because I want to pray with you. See those hands. Thank you. You can put them down. Thank you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never made that active decision. You've made the decision to follow Jesus. Maybe you've been around the stuff, you've heard the message, but you've never made the decision to follow Jesus. And you're saying, you know what? It's time to make a choice. It's time to lean into grace. Not resist it, but allow Jesus to do in me what only he can do. And if that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? Because I want to pray with you as well. Is there anyone? See that hand. Father, you see every hand and every heart. Lord, you see the troubles and you see the fears. And Lord, I thank you that you are still greater and that you make a way. Father, I pray that as you breathe hope, you would begin to speak clarity for the next good thing to do. Lord, I pray that you would just begin to awaken joy. And God, even though there's going to be those difficult moments, I thank you that we don't face them alone, that you're with. God, I speak your blessing on your people. God, we need you. In Jesus' name.